Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all my friends. Traveling in time tubes. Traveling to an unknown future. Good morning to the people digging tunnels so deep below the surface of the Earth. It is Tuesday, March the 25th. 2025 Bo Blimp Doc. It's right around 3:12 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. If you can imagine such things. So, as you well know, I am currently selling t-shirts. If you want to buy one, you can. Just go to the link on the website. I thought I would kick off today by having a brief conversation about something called writer's block. Because there are two kinds of writer's block. One kind of writer's block is the I can't write anything. And I rarely ever get that kind, really. The other kind of writer's block is the will you finish it? I was starting a book in 2015 called Riley Towers, and I didn't really understand this about writer's block at the time. I thought it was, you just can't write. If you can't finish that book, you can't write anything. And that's not really the whole truth, but it kind of got to me. I finished 5 chapters, and if I was ever able to circle back on it, which I probably could, I know I could finish it. It's just that, kind of like the Bigfoot War One project, the main issue isn't the writing, but it's the specific story itself, the tale, you know. And this has happened to me with respect to the podcasting too at times, where I can't really do it for lots of different reasons. One of the reasons being that even though this is way better than living in the camper like last year, it's still kind of hard to carve out a moment where I both want to do it and I can do it. And even then I wonder, okay, you know, I'm doing this at 3 a.m., right? How weird is that? There are two kinds of writer's block. There's the kind that keeps you from writing one sentence at all. And then there's the kind that keeps you from finishing a project. You can still write, but you want to write a lot of dumb shit, and you don't want to focus on the story at hand. And that is what's happening with Bigfoot War One right now. You know, I like to write, but I'm having a hard time doing the kind of writing that would equal commercial success for the simple fact that I don't think it's ever going to happen. The thing that held me up in 2015 is not the same thing holding me up today. And you know, it is what it is. I mean, people play pretend that you're going to have a magical time in your life when you're so carefree that you'll be able to just write everything. I was able to write and do the work I've been able to do, mostly in the last decade, in part because I set that theory aside. Oh, Dan, one day when your retirement funds kick in and you're living on your farm in Vermont, but that never happens. And I hate to break it to me, but Dan, it's never going to happen. It's like the t-shirt thing. I think I'm a pretty good t-shirt designer. Probably not the worst. At least as good as Hot Topic or whatever. But the problem is it doesn't really matter. It's never going to happen. It's just the simple reality that we're in at this point. And if it could happen, I would have a hard time ever believing it, really. You know, maybe. It's like you say, well, Dan, you can't predict the future. You don't know what's going to happen next. And no, I can't predict the future. Here's a funny headline. There's an iPhone moment happening with humanoids. There is unbounded demand. We could ship 1 million robots this month if they were all ready to go. It's an interesting headline. I think people need to look around. They need to look at their sidewalks, their roads. They need to look at each other. They need to look at the buildings. You know, the buildings, these really shoddy buildings that get put up now in cities. They need to be aware of their environment. Look at the cars you drive. Look at that dog collar, that quote-unquote smart device you carry in your pocket. And tell me, what is this iPhone moment that's happening with humanoids? Because if it happened, it happened, you know, with the iPhone. And humans did become humanoids. Because ultimately, I do think there was a kind of robot apocalypse. But it wasn't the one you expected, Mr. and Mrs. Mega Man. It wasn't the one you expected, NPR Woman. I think that people have given up their ability to reason to these quote-unquote devices, and that happened more than a decade ago. So yeah, the humanoid moment happened, but if you're interested in the Sovietology, take a look. Next topic, right? Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I endeavor to offend everyone before I die. In fact, if I come across people I have not offended, I should seek out every opportunity to offend. If someone comes up to me and says, well, Dan, what if they, for whatever reasons, get really angry and decide to toss you into the sea? Well, that can happen to you and that can happen to me. And that sort of thing will just happen. I mean, I don't know. I don't really want to be like Dr. Freckles and simply piss everybody off. But at the end of the day, you have to know if the people around you are alive. And a lot of people are walking around a fucking daze. Barely alive. Barely dead. Someplace in between. So I say, poke the bear. I say, toss a firecracker at the tiger's butthole. I say, offend people and see what the fuck happens. And if at the end of the day you get run out of town on a rail, well, that kind of thing could happen. And sometimes you never even intend it. If you're around the kind of people that go immediately ballistic because you question their belief system, then these are not people you want to be living around at this point. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're living around people, and it only takes a word or two to trigger them into some sort of transatic zombie state of bloodlust, then yeah, these are not neighbors. These are landmines. I endeavor to offend everyone before I die. I cannot lie. If I can stick a log in your eye, I won't even focus on mine, okay? Have a great day. Next topic. Dan, it does sound like they've been spraying. They have been spraying a whole bunch the last week. And everybody's got that cough, and everyone's got that COVID monkey herpes, when in reality, it's the gumbus falling from the sky. But nobody wants to look up and even ask that question, so I guess we're all gonna die. Oh boy. So, in 2020, one of the things I noticed, and I called it something, I called it a trauma monkey. And a trauma monkey is like a psyop, but it's tiny, really. It's like a flying monkey. You know, you're the evil witch of the east, of the north, who cares, the west, nobody cares. But you're an evil witch and you have flying monkeys. And you send out a flying monkey called the murder hornet. You send out a flying monkey called flash mob. You send out little videos and stories of stuff that if an intelligent person looks at it, you say, this is fake. You would. You'd say it's fake. For lots of reasons, not the least of which is how well these things are shot. They're shot too well, given the circumstances in a lot of cases. You're capturing moments that almost nobody's prepared to catch unless it's a setup. So there's one of these little trauma monkeys about ICE officers arresting people, and then random people jump out of their Volvo or their Tesla or whatever and try to prevent the ICE officers from arresting people. Folks, I don't know that any of this is actually happening, and you need to be careful about these stories. Like, it's entirely plausible that all of the immigration stories you've been reading, almost all of them are complete crap. I'm sorry. You know, is it the case that we might be conducting military operations in Mexico? Maybe. But it's probably not for the reasons mentioned. But who knows, right? There's a lot of this PSYOP dreck floating around, you know? And it's kind of up to you to sort through it, really. So one of the things I enjoy doing with my sock puppet accounts, and a sock puppet account is just a dirty burner account you create on social media for the simple purpose of whatever. In my case, I'm not really allowed to be a person on social media, so I choose to just be a jackass. But one of the things I enjoy are all these porn bots. And a porn bot is an AI. Sometimes it's an AI that does a handoff. The AI does a handoff to a person. But it's essentially one of these, you know, follow me, follow you. Hey, I'm going to DM you. You look so handsome. And yeah, I enjoy interacting, but I pretty much respond the same way to every one of these. And the responses are just amazing. In a sense, they're really easy ways to figure out if you're talking to an AI. You can take a look if you want to. It's just so childish. I don't care. It used to be an insult to say, wasn't it always an insult to say that you were raised by wolves? And I mention this because I have to always, not always, but on some schedule, I have to mock the city of Rome. And to me, it says so much that the foundational mythos of Rome has to do with dudes who, you know, were raised by wolves, you know. Oh, but a wolf and a woodpecker, yeah. I'm sure that made it so much better, yeah. Rome is not a holy place, folks. It is not. When, you know, they say the greatest trick the devil ever pulled off is to convince us that he doesn't exist. But I would say the second greatest trick is that the devil convinced the world that Rome is a holy place. It's not. It is the opposite. It is ironic to think in terms of holy place. And people say, well, what about all the Christians that were martyred? And I ask people, meditate on this. Think on this. Does that make it holy or does that make it cursed? I would say the latter, not the former. Otherwise, why don't we just go around killing Christians and make lots of holy places? You know? So anyways, raised by wolves. And that tells you everything, doesn't it? Although, I think we're being mean to wolves when we do this, when we draw this comparison. So I don't know what to say. Wolves and woodpeckers. I drink a little bit more coffee. Clearly, I'm not a very motivated podcaster this morning. Not really motivated at all, because like I said, I have this writing project I want to finish, but I just don't fucking care on one level. I don't think it matters. Not when I'm breathing in poison every single fucking day, and everybody I know is doing the same, and our ability to reject it, to fight back, to do whatever, is decreased by the breathing. It's essentially a positive feedback, and it's not great. It's not great. And there's probably no way out of this. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. The only way that they stop doing what they're doing is collapse. And right now, it seems like a lot of people are gung-ho for the whatever, mega. So who knows? You can fly a long distance on emotion. It's not, you can't fly all the way home. But if you're, for example, conducting a military campaign, emotion and the spirit of the comradeship and the whole picture of being on a team to win it, that can take you a long ways, that glee, but eventually it kind of chokes, and you have to have something real. Right now we're being told, well, the orange juice problem is taken care of and the egg problem is taken care of. Years ago I told you that we would get to a point where they would do to food what they've done to housing. But they have to. At the end, they have to. They have to financialize it. They have to monetize it. They have to connect it to a debt mechanism. Well, there was a headline on Zero Hedge. Burrito now, pay later. DoorDash Klarna deal feeds U.S. debt addiction. So basically, they're going to enable you to go into debt to buy food. And you could say to yourself, well, isn't this a good thing, Dan? doesn't this indicate something positive? And the answer is probably not. If we see more of this specifically, if we see more of this in any form, then I think this indicates that we are close to the end. That this, you know, you can't really run things this way. People believe you can, but you can't. If people are so poor that they're essentially going to go into debt to eat, that's the message. They're mocking this. I mean, they say, oh, DoorDash, and what about, you know, healthy food? Let's talk about healthy food for a second. If you're living in a camper and you don't have a kitchen, you don't have a means to boil water, you don't have a means to cook anything really, and if you did want to cook, okay, outside in the rain, you could try that. I mean, the bottom line is, let's say your situation is bad enough that cooking only creates problems. Then you end up, you know, eating a lot of cold meals. And frankly, sometimes just meals that are kind of like preserved, you know, extra preserved. And it doesn't mean you have to sit around eating Snickers bars. But to me, the Snickers bar soda thing is kind of another one of these little tricks. If they go ahead and do what I think they're going to do, they're going to say all you can buy with the quote-unquote food stamps or EBT is fresh food. And for people who are living in the streets and living in situations without kitchens, that basically means they're going to be given a bunch of food that they won't, frankly, be able to use. And that's the reality of it. You want to play pretend that everybody has a fancy kitchen to cook a fresh meal. That's your pretend zone. That's your fantasy. The reality is, for a lot of homeless, what they can do is grab some food and eat it. They don't really have a kitchen. They don't have a place to boil the water. They don't necessarily have access to regular water to cook with. And you could say, well, Dan, they could cook a can of peas out of a... They could cook a can of peas over their fire, and they could, unless RFK Jr. says that's too much preservative. And if I'm right about what they're doing, what they're trying to do is cover up the fact with various mechanisms that very soon the quote-unquote, the orange juices are better and the eggs are better is going to switch back around again. Very soon. It's not very far off. They're doing everything they can to depress prices right now, specifically when it comes to those egg items. But very soon, that's gonna bounce back. I would say within the next couple months. And once that starts, it's going to be relentless. And if we're at the end of the story, it means it's not years of grinding away at stagflation. It's not a Great Depression. I think we've been in a global depression since at least 2008. It's been papered over several times, but yeah. So it's not a depression that's coming. And if you want to say, well, it's a little deep recession like that one smart guy said, well, maybe. But what the hell is a recession from a depression? That's called collapse. So it will be steep and hard like Dodd says or whatever. But the reality is, that's probably not the worst of it. What's coming? So I don't know what to tell you. Food loans are creepy. Going into debt to eat is creepy. The fact that we've reached the point in our society, whether it's prepared food, cooked food, DoorDash, whatever, the fact that we've reached the point where we can conceive of having food debt is kind of insane. And it doesn't end well. Next topic. Does not end well, folks. You will see. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Dogs, as with humans, dream about bacon. Dogs, as with humans, dream about cheese. Dogs, as with humans, dream about beer. Cats dream about murder. Dogs and humans dream of feasts of succulents in peaceful fields of green. We live in peace with the squirrel. We live in peace with the rabbit. But cats, they dream about bloody fury. Cats, they dream with greedy, greedy eyes about grabbing something small and throwing it about and then tearing out its little throat. Poor little mousy mouse carrying the hantavirus. Yeah, this is not fair. This is not remotely fair, but clearly I'm a dog person, you know, not a cat person. But I wonder about that, because I do think there's this aspect to cats where, on the one hand, you might say, well, cats aren't as smart as dogs. And maybe that's true on one level. But that might be because they just don't really spend as much time on the emotional intelligence issues. like cats, I don't know. It's kind of monstrous because probably people say, no, Dan, cats are loving and they're helpful without my... I know. You're a cat person. So I'm just going to move on. But yeah, cats dream about murder, folks. You should be clear on that. If you have a cat and you're wondering what's dreaming about, it's murder. But also, if you have a dog, probably sometimes it dreams about murder too. Let's be honest, okay? Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. What if teaching is teaching others how to teach and create teachers? Because teaching is recursive. This is the thing about when people talk about the ministry with respect to their Christianity. They'll often talk about the bishops and the ministers and the colleges and the Bible universities, and they'll talk about certifications and being a member of a specific 501c3 church, and that's all great. But when you think about the message of Christ, it was not a message to build institutions. It was not a message to come up with a way to evade paying taxes, because in reality, all taxation is theft. It wasn't really about administration. It wasn't about bureaucracy. It was about teaching others how to teach, teaching others to teach others how to teach, how to spread the ministry. It spreads recursively without administration, and it truly is decentralized. It really is when you think about it. If you're great at teaching, you will create people who can, in fact, help others. You will create people who will try to find others who also can help. If you're actually conducting the ministry of Christ, you will minister, but you will also counsel others on doing the same, so that we're never put in a position, again, we should never have been in a position like 2020, where people say church is closed. I mean, I'm pretty certain Matthew 18:20 says church is never closed, right? That's Matthew 18:20. That's if two or more of you are gathered in my name. Church is never closed, folks. It's always open. You don't have to have a building. You don't have to have a university. You don't need a rock band. You don't need the smoke machine. You don't need the espresso in the back. All you need is another person and a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, all you have to have is another person. And it's prayer, and it's reflection, and it's ministry, which means taking care of others. A lot of things have become broken in the last couple thousand years since Christ was here. And one of the things that became really broken, and once again, my favorite target, Rome, is how Christianity was turned into a structure. When in fact, it's really a belief system related to God. It's not really a structure. It's not a building. It's not an army. It's not a government. If people say, how many divisions does the Pope have? Why would we even ask that question? Why would the Pope have one division of troops? Why would anybody representing God need an army at all? Ever? You know, I'm a big fan of self-defense. Every living thing has a right to defend itself. But since when do we need to invade other countries to make them believe what we believe? And then how do we convince ourselves that's right? By the way, that's a good example of the opposite of teaching. And in some ways, the opposite of teaching is destroying. If a teacher's goal is to create others who can teach and also teach others to teach, then the bombs and the bullets and the armies and the divisions, the advanced missiles and drones, that's pretty much just about destruction, about erasing all the work. If there were people who lived in Gaza who could teach peace, you wiped them out. And you can blame Hamas if you want to. That's a nice little excuse. But after 40,000 tons of TNT, that excuse wears thin. And that happened in the first 30 days. I mean, maybe I'm oversimplifying a bit, but teachers build. Teachers build builders. Teachers Build builders who can teach others how to build. Teachers spread a wisdom that can grow. In the ministry, if you're a teacher, you just don't tell people, believe this. You help them understand what they're reading. And in that sense, you're helping others to do the same work. Next topic. This is a stupid Dr. Freckles quote. Writers drink because if they did not drink, they would never write one line. And I wrote this the other day, but I kind of think it's a stupid quote. You can write, absolutely be creative without drugs. You don't need weed, you don't need alcohol, you don't need cigarettes. You don't need coffee. You don't need sugar, you don't need chocolate, you don't need to go running, you could do it without the running. If it's rainy outside, right? And once you go down this line of reasoning, you do realize rather quickly that you could write without a lot of things, but that doesn't mean you want to, or that you have to. And I guess my point is, there's no simple answer here. A lot of people use drugs because in reality, they're self-medicating. They're dealing with some type of pain that the big pharma complex just never helped them with. I've tried all the fancy drugs the doctors recommend, and I've tried some of the other techniques people recommend, and over the years I've come to one simple conclusion. When it comes to our own madness, it really is our own fucking problem. And a lot of people can give you crooked advice. If I had chosen starting in March of 2020 to stick with the basic program, which is where I'm at right now, which is be very skeptical of random people giving you advice, I would be in better shape today. But my mistake in 2020 was kind of, how can I phrase it? Things got so weird that all of a sudden I felt like, well, maybe I need to trust more rather than less. And that kind of insanity went down some dark roads. I should live a healthier life, but I also am left with the question mark of what is the purpose of this? You know, we should all live these healthy lives. And then for what purpose? Is it to look really healthy? Is it to, you know, be attractive? As you get older, is that a very meaningful thing? I don't know. I think we're all breathing in poison every day now. I really do. And I know that makes me sound crazy. I think every day we're breathing in a ton of poison. And the reason why we're finding out is kind of like what I talked about in January 2020. We're at the end. And the truth at the end does work like a smokescreen because people are too baffled. They're too confused, too angry to do anything. By the time people figure out they need to do something, again, out of town. You know, I was thinking about the reset again the other day, the quote-unquote reset, them taking over. And I've had a lot of reasons to reject the basic theory, but I'm just going to put it in terms that make the most sense to me. When I look around, generally speaking, not everybody is unhealthy. Not everybody's coughing. Not everybody's sick. But there's enough people out there that are coughing and sick, and frankly, not from the COVID or the vaccine, but from the shit they're spraying, that the question you have to ask yourself is, what would these evil people do with billions of people in some staggered state of diabetes, cancer, or dementia? I mean, you're not going to build pyramids. I'm sorry. I hate to confuse you or hurt you or send you down a dark road, but you're not going to build pyramids with billions of sick people. You're not. That's the flaw in the whole vaccine bullshit. And that's why I'm convinced the vaccine is the counter psyop to the monkey herpes, because people would be saying, oh, everyone's shedding and everyone has the vaccine virus, and if you take the magical dewormer, you're okay, but then it comes back as a weird sort of plasmoid, carbon fiber tunnel, you know, Dan, you know, graphene. And it looks like a lot of just fear-based bullshit. But here's what the people who sell that won't admit, because they leave it out. It's the silent part. What the fuck are the powers that be going to do with your billions of sick and dying people? What does that reset even look like? And at the end of the day, I go back to, okay, it's Humpty Dumpty, some version of Humpty Dump. And, you know, Zardoz could be the version. They bug out and they come back in a couple hundred years when the population is 200 million, not 6 billion or 7 billion. Yeah, it could be. That could be the reset. That makes more sense based upon what I'm seeing with my own eyes. I don't need the news to tell me the news at this point. You know, I don't know how that connects to writers drinking. But did you know that if you mix cola with Vaseline, you get the best tuna in the world? Yes, it smells like tuna, but it tastes like chicken. If you mix cola with Vaseline, and then you add in some sand and some broken glass, add in metal shavings, stir in the mineral spirits, it'll make the best tuna in the entire world. It'll taste wonderful and special, and you only have to mix cola with Vaseline. That's all you gotta do. Oh, last topic. So, I'm getting kind of to the point with my cyber stalking where I'm starting to push the envelope. And it's really a strange situation because I built this email list as a combination of ordinary PayPal retirement grifters. You know, hey, Mr. Sullivan, did you know there's a new program where if you give us your credit card number, you're screwed? Click. Hey, this is Mr. PayPal. Did you make the Bitcoin transaction? Give me your password. Click. There are those people, and those people are well known to us, and I've got their phone numbers, and pretty much all those phone numbers are those types of people. And it's a fun phone number list, folks. It's free pranking. If you ever feel like on a night, if there's some Friday night you want to prank somebody, call one of those fucking numbers. It'll be the retirement scheme one day. It'll be the PayPal Bitcoin scheme the next. Keep them on the line. Believe it or not, by keeping them on the line and fucking with them, you're actually doing a good thing. But then there are the cyber stalkers. The people that have been kind of like, well, frankly, if I'm being honest, these people have probably been in my life since 2016, for 8 years. It's just that for the most part, it was the edge of the cage bullshit. And for the most part, I didn't talk about the Goat King, Jared Fitton, and all of his bullshit. I didn't really mention his name because it felt like, you know, this is just a problem. At this point, it doesn't really matter. I don't know if all of these people are connected to him. I do know that he claimed to have the money to pull it off. And I've done some black box testing on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Elon's trash heap in recent days. And it confirms, yeah, this guy's protected. He's protected. He's a magic token man. There is a hash table, dictionary lookup. There's a database someplace, a table someplace, where if his name pops up, you better have something nice to say, or don't say anything at all because you won't get to. That is the one thing that Anna Merlan got right. Yeah, he's protected. Did she figure out why? Oh, it's the climate thing. It's the petrochemicals. No, it's probably uglier than that, Anna Banana. But I've been doing the project. And the latest phase of the project is using some of the key words like money, guns, ammo, paymaster, operation or op. I'm staying away from the heavy-duty ones because the heavy-duty ones probably do warrant a visit from the Secret Service. This is mostly just garbage. Garbage, garbage, garbage. Like encrypting a message where all I say is, you know, you are an F over and over again. But it does push the limit. And the reason why I'm doing it is because I just don't know why not. If they're going to constantly keep sending me messages and I simply don't have the money to buy the resources I would need to shut it all down, then my next best option is just to treat it like a joke. And it is a joke. The joke's on me, the joke's on you. If you pay your taxes and believe in this whole thing, the joke is really on you. If you're the mega man who thinks that what Trump is doing is freedoming right now, the joke is on you. Best case scenario. Best case scenario. We are looking at, as I've said in previous podcasts, the oligarchic takeover of the United States, but out in the open, which means they're not afraid. They're not afraid of being attacked or destroyed. And they control the mind of the American people so well at this point that, yeah, they're going to get away with it. They'll take the national parks and the national forests. They'll take all of the property that supposedly, as BLM says, talk about palimpsest, as the Bureau of Land Management says, these are your public lands. Well, they're not. And that's exactly what Elon and Trump are showing you. Best case scenario, we are going through what the Russians went through. And just like with the Soviet Union, which is more than just Russia, just like with the Soviet Union, I think you could see us fall apart too. Which is to say that if this nonsense goes too far, you could have soft secession, essentially. You could have states saying, fuck this, we're out of here. And it could happen. And it could happen overnight. People think that this is a stable situation. It's more like super stability, which means it's very fragile. It's stiff and it's strong. It seems like that. But it's kind of fragile because it's not flexible. What they can do at this point is really limited. It's sort of like Powell and the Federal Reserve. If he were to go on a loose quantitative easing type cycle, right? Well, Dan, they got to lower the interest rates. If he did that, yeah, your prices for eggs would spike rather quickly. If he tightens too much, the whole thing also implodes. He's stuck between a tiger and a bear. And this was always going to be the end game for the fiat currency. A tiger on one side, inflation, and a bear on the other, deflation. And those are the only exits. This soft landing bullshit they've been talking about since 2008 is exactly that. Bullshit. Anyways. I've been changing the game with that, but, you know, we'll see. And I don't really care. I think we're at the point in the game, for all of us, that if you haven't done the things you need to do, you better. If they really are poisoning us from the sky, the only thing that's going to stop that at this point is collapse. Really. I don't see Mega Man doing it, so there you go. It is Tuesday, March the 25th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. And we are space travelers, and we can travel through space on an orbis named the Earth. We can travel to a nearby star, and we can somehow make ourselves out to be the new kinds of people who dress in fancy clothes and go to bikini-style yacht clubs. Yes, we can have all the power and energy of the ancient robots. And we can be the new kind of humanoid wearing our spandex jacket and living on a donut 100 miles above the surface of the Earth. We could be drifting through space. We could be eating Spam sandwiches. We could have cracked corn. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.